The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is!
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you're in a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not ask, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
Welcome back to the Smiley Show, where we are recapping round three of the U.S. Open with one of the most beautiful backdrops in golf, and also the Shinnecock Hills Clubhouse. I'm talking, of course, about that magenta T-Mobile chair back there behind the 18th green. It would be really nice. The guys, actually, the CAA guys, they offered us chairs to bring out here. We didn't want to lug them out here, but now I'm kind of wishing we did.
It's been a magenta week if you've been with us from the start. I mean, having the guy who's leading the U.S. Open on at the start of the week to get his thoughts on his golf game, this golf course, and leaving that interview, we're like, is Wyndham Clark going to win the U.S. Open? And here we are.
Here we are. He just might. He has a six-shot lead heading into Sunday at 7-under. Our coverage this week, of course, as we've mentioned here, presented by T-Mobile, the official 5G network partner of the USGA. I got the magenta stripe. Oh, no, wait. I love my magenta striped socks. Okay, I'm gonna wear them tomorrow. That's a bad reveal. I had them in a bag. I must have forgotten to change into them. That you can get at the benefits hub on the left side of the first fairway. You can also get a wristband there to go to the viewing deck on 13, where we will start the show, because that is where Wyndham Clark needed a big save for par. He pushed it up. A lot of guys pushed it up on 13 today. Scotty, Rory, you were in the group with Xander. Xander almost holed out for eagle. Xander pushed up on the right, couldn't cover that first greenside bunker, hits it to 14 feet, makes a putt there, and you texted us and said, like, let's talk tonight about all the 4-plus feet putts that Wyndham's made today, and we compiled the list. I think it ended up at 10 made putts of the 4-plus feet leg. It's 6th hole, 7 feet 3 inches, 7th, 4-11, 8th, 3-7, rounding up to 4, 9th, 6-9, 10th, 5'4", 11th, 5'9", 13th, 14'1", 14th, 5', 16th, 4'4", and 17th, 4'. I mean, just the flat stick. We talked about it, you know, in our preview show with Wyndham. Once again, like, this has been one of the key categories this week at Shinnecock Hills, and he's doing it very well.
How many of those were there?
There were 10 of those.
10. And he missed two. He missed one on 15 and one on 18.
That's right.
But from a percentage standpoint, I think Rick Gaiman had a pretty good tweet. It was before they had probably gotten to the 15th hole, so when he was still making all of the putts and hadn't missed any yet. He said, running just the numbers based off of probability of make percentage from those distances, the chances that he made all of those putts was at 4.8%.
Wow.
So I thought that was a very telling stat. Knowing that Rick, of course, would know the numbers and putting a little bit more into context of what it would be on just a normal week. Now you throw in U.S. Open conditions, Poana that was bumpy, and then also wind. So,
oh wow, we have fans inside the bleachers. I think
that's
amazing.
Hold on, it could be the ghost of Shinnecock. We're not positive it was a person.
Could be the ghost of Shinnecock waking up to bring out the teeth, hopefully tomorrow on a Sunday.
Did you hear that, Jax?
Yeah.
Where was that person?
It's literally inside the bleachers.
Yeah.
How about that? That stretch from Wyndham, I think, like, that 15, 16, 17 stretch is super key, because to your point on 15, he's made all these short putts, then he misses one that's 3 feet 10 inches and then makes bogey there, but then goes right back at 16 and hits a 275-yard approach shot at the par 5 16th to leave himself 4 feet, makes that putt. That's the only eagle on 16 this week. And then 17.
Yeah, we got to talk more about that 16, because That's the first off, very funny. That was the exact same distance that Scottie Scheffler
yes.
had. And then after the round, he spoke with Todd Lewis, and Wyndham said that it was a perfect five wood. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: they didn't have the five wood. And Dave is like, dude, just hit the three wood. Try to take 10 to 12 yards off of it. And just the fact that he was able to, you know, play a shot that was not a full one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you were with us last night when we were doing our journal, we were left of 16 green, and who knew that we were going to see the shot of maybe the tournament, and maybe a shot that we're going to talk about for years to come that Wyndham hit on Saturday afternoon, where he's coming off a bogey. Is there a chance that he makes some more bogeys coming down the stretch and, you know, loses a lead? Now, it's not, of course, guaranteed that he's going to win tomorrow, but the odds say that he's in a really good spot to lift up that trophy.
Well, I think shot making, when you're referring to last night's journal, I thought where you were going to go was the shot you described that Scottie Scheffler hit, that little lower trajectory 8-iron, the bounce up, just knowing how to create a shot like that. And that's what Wyndham does there, having to kind of not hit something stock, hit take a little something off the three wood, in the same way that Scottie hit it in there and had an eagle look as well, kind of flowed something high and gave himself a look. And then the difference becomes, once again, getting back to the putting this week, of we saw in live from right before you hit your shot, all these misses that if Scottie makes, you know, a couple of those putts, we have a neck and neck race on a Sunday. Instead, it's a six shot spread.
Yeah, it's putting and iron play.
It really is.
It's what Brooks Koepka did so well, you know, back in 2018. And he answered the bell on if you were watching live from the beginning of the day, or let's say you're just playing a neighboring golf course, you would have understood how windy it was today. I was watching live from, and the booth was shaking. You could hear it like there was a tornado coming through. That's how loud it was. And then I think I texted you guys too that I'm sitting there watching Chris Goddard up on the first screen. He was one of the first groups, made the cut at +4. And his ball, as he put the ball down, which you own your spot now, it's not a penalty, they couldn't keep it still. It kept rolling and rolling. So I'm thinking, gosh, are we going to have to halt play today? The last team's tee times are at 3:45. We are in some serious trouble. And we haven't even gotten to the 11th hole, which is going to be the worst of them all. But what ended up happening with the forecast, as the day went on, the wind started to gradually decrease. Not to say it wasn't strong, but the guys this morning had the worst of it.
Yeah, and I'd say the other category that Wyndham's really, you know, played well in this week is, if you go to 17, you think about around the green, fifth and around the green this week.
Yeah.
So 17, he hits it over, almost as a camera operator. I thought we were going to have, it would have been a perfect opportunity for the enhanced video review for USGA rules officials that T-Mobile is supporting to go over there and be like, we got a camera right on top of it.
Did you see the blood?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I think because he was working around that tower there and trying to kind of figure out where he wanted to drop, maybe clip something.
But how did his elbow get involved?
As a guy who wakes up like 3 days later wondering like why there are all these bruises on my shins, I'm not a great representative of figuring out how that's supposed to work. I've read that's an ADD thing. So, you know,
or a Southside thing.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take the psychological out for starters. But for him to get up and down from, he takes that TIO drop and then hits it to 4 feet and converts there. And Scottie Scheffler, same thing. 17, hits it in the front left bunker, gives himself a look, can't convert. And it's like it's that margin there of just Wyndham's been great ball striking, great putting, but also, you know, fantastic around the green this week, which was another factor of yours with the way these greens are sort of shaped. You know, if you can't do that, you're not going to be in contention.
Totally. I think that a couple of different storylines. I think one in which we're going to talk about is, of course, Scottie's in that final group with Wyndham, best player in the world, has a chance to complete the Grand Slam and maybe has more pressure on himself to try to complete that. And then, of course, Wyndham Clark with a big lead. And you know what he's going to be feeling coming into the Sunday round. But before we get there, one thing I wanted to talk about is just about the golf course and the setup that the USGA potentially has on their hands. So what did we saw today? The wind came from the northwest, and from talking to members before the round, a northwest wind does not come from the ocean side. It's a much more dry wind. It's low humidity. If you were out here today, you could definitely feel it. And I was talking to Austin Kaiser before the round. I was like, what do you expect for the golf course today? He said, I expect it to bake out. I was like, why do you think that? And he said, well, I wetted my towel like I always do on the range, and typically I can always tell when a place is going to bake out based off how fast the towel dries up. He said when before they had gotten to the putting green before the round, the towel was almost dry. And so he knew going into the day that the greens were going to continue to get more and more firm. And you saw that today. You saw the greens definitely get more firm. You saw the 10th hole basically become unplayable with how downwind it got. Nobody was able to figure it out.
I still not sure how you hit those shots.
Way to lie from.
Unbelievable.
But I think the USGA has a couple different options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can make the greens faster tomorrow. They could definitely give them maybe one or two more rolls than what they have been doing. From a weather forecast standpoint, it's going to be the lightest the winds have been all week. So it's a day for good scoring. But
do we want that, though? I mean, I guess we're chasing.
I think if the greens are faster, but it's somehow more scoreable, that's a good thing for the chasers. The harder it gets, the better it is for Wyndham. I think in order to get Wyndham or chase him down, you got to have a guy that can go out and shoot 5-under. If you can't have a guy that can shoot a 5-under par round tomorrow, it feels like Wyndham can just babysit out there. You know, when you have that big of a lead and nobody's making birdies, it's going to be just about him being able to keep the ball in front of him and just try to eliminate mistakes, play to the fat part of the green, two putt, take care of what you need to, and then take care of the par fives.
Well, and I think it's an interesting question, right? Because I think a lot of people were pointing to the setup this week like to as a sort of indictment of how low the scoring's been, right? Yeah. And then you can kind of roll that back and say, well, at what point do we need to start making this hard? Like, if we have 156 players, we're trying to keep pace of play reasonable, you know, and if we make it easier on Thursday and Friday, easier being relative, it's still Shinnecock Hills, is that enough? And then you're looking at where we are now with Wyndham is 7-under and saying, maybe it's already done. You know, even if it bakes out, to your point, it maybe makes it easier for Wyndham to just go ahead and win this thing wire to wire. But I think there's a part of what we have to do for the analysis is saying, Wyndham Clark just went out and won this golf tournament. There's nothing that, at least where we stand now, three rounds in, however you would have set this golf course up, feels like Wyndham Clark would still be leading this tournament the type of golf he's playing right now.
The only argument I would make is that Scottie Scheffler was in the bad wave, Wyndham Clark was in the good wave.
Yeah, but funnily enough, and I think that's another thing when it comes to this course, is like, we thought Wyndham was going to be in the bad wave, right? Yeah, when we started out.
But he wasn't.
And he wasn't. For sure.
And it's when the wind laid down is when he really started to separate. He was a couple under par. He was playing very well. He's playing well in windy conditions. And I'm not saying that it wasn't windy Thursday, because it was. It was blowing heavily on Thursday.
Yes.
But when it started to lay down, and when I say lay down, it was still a 10-mile-an-hour wind. So let's not act like he was playing in nothing. He was still executing shots, but it's the fact that he's made two eagles this week. He made an eagle at the fifth. Actually, he's made three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's eagled, maybe it's been two.
He eagled five.
He missed the putt. He missed the eagle putt today. But anyways, I would point to that as the only benefit that Wyndham has had, is that he was in the good draw and that he was able to take advantage of it. And a guy like Scotty was on the opposite side of it. And his Thursday round was played in much more difficult conditions.
When Scotty spoke after the round, it was great. They were asking him about, you know, obviously the potential significance of this day, your birthday, Father's Day, completing career Grand Slam. And he's like, you know, I kind of got hosed with this, my birthday and Father's Day being on the same day. Like, I kind of lost the celebration.
He said that after the round?
He did.
That's good.
They also asked him what he's going to do tomorrow. And you're just thinking about a guy who is a generationally talented player preparing for the final group on a Sunday at the U.S. Open to complete the career Grand Slam. He's like, I'm going to be kind of busy tomorrow watching the kids. I think Sam's going to come over. Sam Burr's going to come over and watch some golf. You're like, this guy's just a one of one. But
Tirico was so good with Scotty after the round. He asked just such poignant questions, and they were so tight. Like he said, I got three questions for you. That's, as a question asker, that is a bold strategy to say you got three questions, because there's a chance you might forget one of your questions. And so
he's going to hold me. He's going to hold me to all three.
I know. And he finished with, what would it mean? You know, the answer was great. Scotty gave, and as he was saying goodbye to him, I just laughed when Mike is like, I don't think we need to mention the Grand Slam, and Scotty's like, I think everybody knows.
Okay, so, I've got good. Here's what I'm thinking for the close of the show. Unless you have other stuff, right? I've one stat that we can play trivia game. I've got one stat I want to read you, and then we've got a brand new segment, a brand new game that we're workshopping.
Okay.
Here, all right?
Okay. Before that, can I interview Jackson for two quick questions, ask him about
Yeah, please.
The Sahith Sam Burns group.
Come on down. Or how do you want to do this? You want to stand behind the camera?
Jackson Brown, come on down.
Here, hand me those headphones. Here we go. Look,
we're
at
switching
this.
Roles.
There you go. Get back in your producer. Right, Charlie's baby. Back in his producer role here.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, you guys, the lighting looks great back here.
There you go. All right, so you're walking with Sahith and Sam Burns.
I was, yes.
You walked the back nine with them?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much the whole back nine.
So, based on my understanding, is that these guys didn't get on TV a ton. Sahith got on TV later, so kind of let us know how good Sahith is hitting, dude. Because like,
oh,
you look
gosh.
At his stats, man.
Yeah,
I actually talked.
It was ridiculous.
I talked to his caddy at the beginning of the week, and he's been starting to play better. Mm-hmm. But they figured some things out, and so obviously he's striping.
I think he went 13 of 14 fairways and 14 of 18 greens.
That's a good idea if you're going to play US Open.
Holy smokes! And left himself a lot of gettable putts. Cozied a lot of them up, had a lot of tap-in pars.
Yeah. Sam
was pretty much in the same boat. I mean, these guys were just playing boring golf. Yeah. It was great to watch because nobody else that I was watching was doing what they were doing. So they were just picking it apart.
So I got another question for you too, Jax. Since you're somebody who's, you know, boots on the ground, actually watching the golf out there, so I figured you were the right person to ask.
Sure.
Let's take a sense of the vibes of the US Open week. Of the spectators, because I've been walking around these grounds and I've seen half empty bleachers. I've seen like pretty good vantage points for somebody who's behind the rope. So I got to ask you, have you been able to watch the best players in the world at a pretty good, pretty good angles here?
I've been getting some great vantage points. Unfortunately, some lackluster crowds and some really
fun
groups, but great for me. We'll take that. I saw some vantage points today that I'm not sure anyone inside the ropes could have really gotten. So,
okay, best shot you saw?
Ooh, Sahith's approach here on 18.
That's a good answer.
I mean, he almost made that. So,
that's Jackson
Thanks,
Brown, folks.
There he is.
Back to what I do best.
There you go. That was good. But all right, so Jax, I mean, I think everybody's going to be watching Scotty and Wyndham tomorrow. So who do you got your eye on at tee time tomorrow? Y'all both are pretty good at finding that.
Oh, man. Honestly, what did we have? We were just looking
both
at him.
So good at finding it. Like, today was awesome. They had Jackson Koivun and Miles Russell playing together.
Ooh, that was a fun one.
That is a fun pairing.
They were grinding this morning, too.
Sam Burns, Keith Mitchell, that's a good one. Fleetwood, Schauffele. Flushers.
Ooh,
couple good ones there.
Fitz and Colin.
Dude,
that's
if,
a good one.
What if Wyndham shoots 8 over? Who wins this tournament? Scotty?
It's got to be Scotty, right? It's got to be Scotty.
Akshay, Rory.
Whoa,
there's
some options.
Yeah, there's some great groups. Well, I'll be boots on the ground again. That's
all
for
right.
sure.
Keep us posted.
All right, we're gonna close this thing out
right.
now.
Give me the game.
Okay, here's a game. Okay, there have been 8. Wire-to-wire U.S. Open wins.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you to name all of them. I'll tell you the ones pre-2000.
I know one is Tiger.
Okay, so pre-2000, Walter Hagen, 1914, Jim Barnes, 1921, 1953, Ben Hogan, and 1970, Tony Jacklin. All right, okay. So I want you
so
to give me...
1970 and on?
So 2000 and on.
2000 and
yeah.
on.
Yeah, there have been 4 wire-to-wire U.S. Open wins by 3 people. If you can tell me the person and the venue... The venue get bonus points.
Okay. So we're saying from 2000 on?
2000 on.
All right, where's Tiger one? It's kind of where my mind initially goes. Phil obviously hasn't won one. I don't think Justin Rose was winning wire to wire, but that would be kind of, let's go Justin Rose, Marianne.
It's the same guess that Jackson
Not
made.
Right.
Not right, but yeah. in the neighborhood.
Yeah. In the neighborhood, okay. Oh, Martin Keimer.
See, that's one you should know. 2014 Finders.
Played that one. I should definitely know it.
Yeah.
DJ won in 16.
I think you're overcomplicating this. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. You got 2 guys left. One of them did it twice. One of them did it once.
Rory did it congressional.
There you go.
And then Tiger did it in... I just wanted you to shake your head that it was Tiger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Tiger did it in... It was Pebble. Where else did he want it? So Shinny. It won Oakmont. I'm just thinking of all the sites here.
In the state.
We're in New York. Wingfoot.
Bethpage Black.
Bethpage is what came to mind, but I didn't remember Wingfoot.
2000 Tiger Woods, 2002 Tiger Woods. Bethpage.
I don't remember that.
2000 Pebble Course. 2011 Rory McIlroy Congressional. 2014 Martin Keimer Pinehurst.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I did all right.
Here's your stat. Okay. 21 players have had a 6-plus shot lead entering the final round of a major championship. Uh-huh. 20 of those have converted that. Only exception, Greg Norman, 1986 Masters, or 1996 Masters, I'm sorry. So the odds are stacked in Wyndham Clark's favor. Those are your two wire winner stats.
What about the one at Cherry Hills with Arnold Palmer? And didn't he come back from six on that one?
Not according to Elias Stabiro, which, by the way, thanks to Randy Robles.
I thought it was Arnie came flying back at Cherry
Maybe
Hills.
Maybe it was five.
The back nine at Cherry Hills. It's like one of the fun. Yeah, it's such a good doc.
I know that's in the stat packet, but I'm
you're done.
I'm statted out. Okay. The last thing is
I have dust between my eyeballs and contacts. This place is an absolute Sahara.
Okay, we're gonna call this the SK Fit Check. All right.
Okay.
So this is a stylish guy here, right? You know, wearing Imperial Tour visors, RLX, all right? Two fits in the field today. I want you to tell you which one was better, okay?
Ooh, okay.
All right? We got Keith Mitchell here.
Okay, I don't love the visor with that, but keep going.
I don't love the visor. Okay?
No.
So just take it all in the dress pants. Got these, like, little tan cleats and white laces.
I thought it would have been cleaner with a white.
I think maroon was a nice touch, okay? Now,
I mean, it's certainly a great outfit.
Comparing it to your good buddy, Justin Thomas. That's
JT's.
JT
wins it.
All right.
Yeah, it's the belt. I love the pants, but it reminds me of the Aaron Hills U.S. Open 63 shot on that Saturday.
That's like why outfit, you wore so it. It's interesting because Keith doesn't even wear a belt because he wears dress pants.
He didn't wear belts?
I mean, you tell me. Does it look like there's a belt there?
Gosh.
Dress pants.
That's a bold strategy.
If they're tailored well, you don't need a belt, right? That's it. That's all we got for the show tonight.
Still think Wyndham Clark wins at 4-under.
You still think Wyndham Clark wins at 4? Okay, so he's got to shoot drop 3 tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a hard day for him.
But so then, wins at 4, that means the best Scotty did was 2-under. Scotty got to 3-under for the tournament.
I mean, I'm just telling you what's going
to
happen.
Okay, all right. I love it. I'm the guy who picked Wyndham Clark to start the tournament.
Did you?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Remember we did it right over there. just, you know. 4 or 5 days ago.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I think when we were doing the big pool, I thought it was going to come from five guys, and Wyndham was one of my guys, so that's exciting.
Yeah, we had a good pool. We had a good pool. We had a good notepad, and we're going to have a great conclusion.
We need to continue to get the winner of the tournament on prior to the week, so we just need to be better about figuring out who's going to win. So
yes.
This has really gone well for us.
Yeah, I think if we get the Smiley Show bump back and we start nailing picks again.
Oh, Mount Rushmore. Be on the lookout. Yep. What's it called?
Mount Four Ball. Be on the lookout. We have a brand new pick segment.
Yeah.
You guys have been clamoring for it. We're going to bring it back, okay?
Bring it back.
And we're going to bring you a full recap of the 126th U.S. Open tomorrow night from an undisclosed location offsite.
What'd you shoot at National?
82. Went out in 38. With the wind.
I didn't think they had that visor in the merch shop, but yeah, I just wanted to double check.
You know, I just shout out to what a great set of hosts out there. I mean, we had such a great day. I'll say this, because we text about this. I got there and I got out of the car and I was laughing how hard the wind was blowing. White caps in the water. I got to the first hole, all right, so it's like a 315 par 4,
sure.
Dogleg left, goes up. I had a 7-iron off that tee.
Downwind.
I had 65.
Oh, dude, send it on the green. 60, what are we doing?
65 yards in. That's the first shot of the day. I'm not going to. I'm
Come
trying
on,
to.
That's why there's a breakfast ball.
So I 65 yards, hit it up there to like, you know, 30 feet or something. D green the first putt off the back.
Sure.
And then I didn't want to ask the caddy for a wedge, so I putted it. And of course, into the wind, it's slow. So I have like 15 feet for bogey, and I can't get the ball to stop. I put it down like 5 times, and I'm like, all right, I'll take a 6. Let's go to 2T.
To the windmill we go.
To the windmill. To the walls. See you tomorrow.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the